My name is Matt.
My name is Abigail.
And this is the Polyglot Progress podcast. We did it. All right. Sort of. Welcome to episode 17.
Yes.
We just uploaded 16. Yes, this is 17. And today we are going to be talking about our thoughts on language families.
Yes. So we received a tweet from Lucia, hopefully we're pronouncing your name correctly, that says, thoughts on language families, struggles when learning 2+ languages from the same family, difficult families, prejudices, etc. Because I tweeted out asking for any topics you guys wanted to see us covered, because we are going to be pre-filming
most of basically our stuff for our the next whole few months.
Next month of yeah. content is going to be filmed in the next few weeks, since we cannot film for the, 3 weeks we're in Europe. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also taking trips. So,
yeah.
Anything you guys around, would like though. To see, let us know now while we can film it.
Definitely.
So, today we are going to talk about language families. Mm-hmm. We have those topics that she asked for, and then a few others. And it should be good. And if you have anything that you would like to see us cover in the podcast, let us know now.
Yep, do comments, let us request what you want, send us tweets in the comments. We will be reading those. Scouting for ideas and topics. All right. So do you want to start off with learning 2 languages from the same family? And do you want to kind of classify how we're going to be talking about languages? Because we were just talking about this a bit.
Yeah. So basically, there's a lot of different ways that people talk about language families. And it depends mm-hmm. on whether you're talking to, an actual linguist or having an actual linguistic discussion, or if you're just kind of talking to a friend who enjoys languages and talking about families. So some people will say the language family would be the Proto-Indo-Europeans or just Indo-European.
There you go.
There's two separate, you could either, yeah, I'm sorry. But some people might say that Indo-European is the family, and then there's a subfamily or a group within that, which mm-hmm. would be
and then the subgroups. And so we're just going to be referring to the big families and the subfamilies by the same name, which is just language family. So when we say the Germanic family, we mean within the Indo-European family. Or if we say the Bantu family, we mean within the Afro-Asiatic.
And I find that's the way that most language learners talk to mm-hmm. each other, at least, just to make it a little easier than being the Romance subgroup within the group of this within the Indo-European family. They just kind of condense it down to be the Romance family.
Yes,
so that's
exactly.
kind of, I took it that's probably how this question was meant to be interpreted. Yep. So we're going to be talking about families in terms of that, as opposed to saying I love Indo-European languages and not.
Yes. And now we will say that we both have had the most experience with Indo-European languages, and that is not, I don't know if it's due to preference. I think it's just what we've been exposed to. And we both want to move on to other families and explore the Indo-European family more.
Mm-hmm.
We both have goals to learn as many languages as we can from as many continents as we can and to be very diverse with our languages. It's just
it was mentioned in the last podcast, we were talking about languages we want to learn. I do have a goal of either learning a language from each region or from each language family. I kind of don't know exactly what my plans are, but I definitely do want to be able to look at a map and see a very diverse language spread, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think my focus on Indo-European has not been intentionally focused on Europe. I'm currently learning Japanese, so that's spreading out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I was still trying to spread within there. So my jump from French and German then was to Bulgarian, which happens to still be Indo-European, but it was because I wanted to try out the Slavics.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that, at least for me, it's not based on preference, at least not yet, because I don't think I have enough experience to determine what my preference is for a giant language family like Indo-European.
Oh my gosh, I know. I can actually say otherwise, because I think I know for a fact that the Germanic languages are my favorite, because with the amount of time I spend looking at Old Norse stuff, and just with the passion I have for Norwegian and how much I love how German works and sounds, I can say without a doubt that's my favorite whether you want to call it subfamily or family. I just love the Germanic family, and the history of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
But
I guess. So that's how we're going to be talking about it. So we're going to start with the first question, mm-hmm. which is our struggles when learning 2 or more languages at the same time from the same family.
Yes. And struggles or benefits, you can actually say both. and I think we'll talk about both, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find a lot of the time that there are more benefits if they are languages from the same family that are maybe a bit more distanced. But then you get struggles there too. So
Yeah,
I
so
know.
I guess if we're going to talk about personal experience, what languages have you learned from within the same family?
From the Germanic family, I have learned, or the West Germanic family, but within the Germanic family, I have learned German and Norwegian. And so I learned German first, so that most of my knowledge of the Germanic family and the roots therein came from German class and German and my own experience of the language. And then when I started learning Norwegian, I was able to see a lot of cognates and a lot of similar words. And luckily, because they were in the same family, there weren't as many false friends just because, they're in the same area. Whereas when you come from German to English, you get a lot of, even though they're in the Germanic family as well, you get a lot of false cognates and whatnot because of the histories of those two respective languages. English has diverged so much further from what it means to be a Germanic language than Norwegian and German are. So I found that learning Norwegian, my vocabulary went from nothing to like a lot bigger because I already had a lot of it and I just needed to learn the new sound system and kind of like morph what I already knew. And then came the difficulty, which was it was impeding my German. Because I would go into German class and I would speak with a Norwegian accent. And I had to, it took a long, not, I, not a long time, I had to just be very conscious of it and I had to combat it while speaking. I had to focus and like listen to what the other person sounded like and try to match their speech patterns and not default to my Norwegian because I love the accent and the up and down of it. And so I would put that into my German and I needed to make sure that I wasn't doing that.
And then I guess it should also be noted that we're both currently studying Spanish together and
Yeah,
we
I was just
both
gonna say that.
have a past with French. And also I this is debatable. This isn't a fact, but
You can talk about Italian.
personally I feel like Esperanto is like a romance language, and I know
Richard
that's
Simcott
heavily
says the same
debated.
thing.
I know it's so debated because it was created with the desire to have it. It's like 40%
Yeah, if you look at it, it's like.
romance, 40% Germanic, and like 20% Slavic or something like that. I don't
It's
know. There
some
is a
weird
percentage
mix.
though. But there is a percentage, but I'm like, it feels like a romance language to me.
It kind
Having
of
studied
functions like
all
one.
three families as well, like I feel like
Yeah, you're pretty qualified to say, to like pass a judgment on it.
even after that, I feel like Esperanto, it's like the weird
Ĉu vi
romance
parolas
language.
Esperanton is like, est-ce que vous parlez Esperanto?
Yeah, it's like a weird, it would be the weird romance language that doesn't really fit, but I feel like it still
Romanian.
technically is considered like a
Is
romance language
Romanian
for me.
romance?
It is, yes.
See, because from what I've seen of it, it does not seem like a romance language. But I
Yeah,
haven't
that's the
seen a
other
lot
one
of
weird
it.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like Esperanto in my mind at least is a romance language, and so I know maybe that's not one I can necessarily talk about as clearly as being like another romance language I've studied,
Yeah, how do
but
you fit like a pub like a act of conlang into language families that develop
I
naturally?
think
Like
they're
it's so
just
hard.
not, but I feel like because Esperanto is
Maybe it's a language isolate.
purposely taking from certain ones, like I don't know. I it just feels like a romance to me. So I'd say that also is a romance that I've studied, and I'd say that again the vocab is something that you pick up. However, I've found at least in my study so far that French and Spanish are a bit different. I think Spanish and Esperanto are very close in their vocab, and that's
Oh, yeah.
why I feel like Esperanto is basically a
A
romance.
romance language,
I mean,
yeah.
I know there are some words that are very much so not, but there are a lot that are quite similar.
Yeah, I mean, even in just the syntax of how Esperanto works, I feel like it's very close to like French and Spanish. Just
Yeah.
like I was saying before with the chu particle, that means like eske. Like German doesn't have that. I don't know if there's something like that in Slavic languages. But just the way Esperanto functions in that sense, I think it was designed to be very romantic in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was designed to be other linguistic families as well. I just feel like it fits mostly in the romance. So I guess Yeah, vocab helps. At the same time, though, like I said, I feel like it depends on the language family. Like, I think the Germanics share a lot more vocab than the Romance languages necessarily share with each other.
I feel like the romance family, shares a lot of verbs. You can kind of see the
Yeah.
verb across the languages, and
And
it's all
also, like,
very
adverbs are, like, very
literally the
much
same
so the
thing.
same.
Yeah.
But
Exactly.
I think beyond that, I feel like the Germanics, like, I think you had an easier time just going into Norwegian and not really needing to think about it. And I think maybe that's part of why I at least haven't had the issue with the accents. However, I also feel like Spanish and French have very different accents, and I think one downside for me was I put off learning Spanish for so long because having gone through like 6 years of French class, Spanish has always sounded very weird to me.
I
And
see that.
I never really had anything against the language. It's just that it's like kind of similar to French, like very similar, but then the accent is very different. And so I was kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand
But
that.
I think it's definitely grown on me. I think I just needed to expose myself to more Spanish media because now I very much enjoy the sound of it. It's very different
It's
from
beautiful.
French, but it's still beautiful. But I think for a while, it took me longer to get used to that than I think most people would. Like, most people would just need to hear it once or twice and be like, that sounds pretty cool. But I was kind of like, this sounds like a weird French that's not right, and
You
I don't
see, that
know.
is how I think. That is exact. Those are exactly my thoughts on Dutch and Danish. And I feel awful about this because most of the linguistic and just language learning community absolutely despises Danish, and I try not to be a
I
Danish hater.
love Danish.
Yeah.
Matt always hates on me for this, but you
I
can
don't hate
catch
on
me
you.
learning Danish probably soon. Like,
I
I
wish you the
actually really
best, but
much the
it's
sound
gonna be
like the sound
difficult.
of Danish.
It will be difficult just because of that accent, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I don't doubt that, but I feel like it is definitely hated upon in the language community, and I'm always like, I like it.
Oh boy. I don't have anything against Danish, by the way, Danes viewing. I enjoy
They're all
Scandinavia
like hitting
equally.
unsubscribe. They're like, bye.
No.
Yeah,
But
so
yeah.
I'd say, oh wow, okay. No, we just said like the same thing at the
No, I
same
know, we
exact
both like
time.
had a pause and were thinking.
I'd say that vocab is definitely the thing that you gain from learning it, and then, at least for me personally, it's just like
Yeah.
adjusting to the sounds, like either mixing up the accent or just feeling like it's not right, even if you are getting the sounds right, because I feel like I kind of have that feeling sometimes too. I'm like,
Are you
that
getting the
should never
sounds
make
right?
this sound.
Oh,
Yeah,
I
just
see.
because I'm so used to words that are similar from another language family, and then I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's tough for me now, and it's really weird because when, I mean, again, I've talked about this before. I have certain thoughts about people who, there's a difference between people who like to learn languages and they only learn languages in the romance family and they don't branch out. And then there's a very big difference between polyglots who are can speak languages within one family and have maybe six languages, but they're all related, and then people who have spread out between other families. And you can say the same thing for people who stay in the Indo-European family, but I think being in different families within a family is better than staying within one family. Because it takes so much more time to get used to a different grammar and a different accent and a different syntax than it does to just kind of change the rules of one language and focus it and change it to another. I don't know where I was going with this. I lost my train. I missed my train.
Oh well, I definitely agree with that.
I was having people tweeting me that they're afraid. Oh no, they were in the comments saying that they were asking me how much sleep I get because they think I'm gonna fall asleep in the podcast. Luckily, guys, I'm drinking coffee now.
Yeah, we both have coffee here today. I think both of us are likely to fall asleep during
It's
this
very possible.
podcast.
You've got a lesson tonight on iTalki at 9:30, so you gotta stay up.
Yeah, I
I
changed
don't.
my
I can
lesson
sleep.
schedule because I found that people were wanting them later at night. So I was like, I'll push my schedule because I used to just teach till
Well, 'cause you
8 p.m.
also
and
stay up late.
I was like, I'll push it till 10 because I don't go to you don't even really think about going to bed till like 11:30.
See
And
me,
then
I'm the opposite.
today,
I'm like, I'll stay up maybe to play video games and talk with my friends, but like if I can
you
sleep, I
stay up till
sleep.
like 9 p.m.
I stay up till 9, 11 on a good night. Last night was like 12:30 and like that was I've never stayed up that late
Yeah,
recently.
but basically, I changed my schedule, I confirmed the lesson, and then today comes around, and I'm like weirdly exhausted today, and so I'm like, oh
Why is
good,
my
I
dog
have to
barking?
be ready to teach at 9:30. But we've got coffee. We will push through this
We will push through
episode.
this. I drank tea this
So,
morning. I had a matcha latte when I
I mean,
went to write.
I think we should get back to the podcast
I'm
topic
just talking about
about
how much
how
caffeine I've
tired is
consumed.
Matt?
How much caffeine has Matt consumed today? I had
Welcome
tea
to
this
episode
morning,
17
a
of the
green tea
podcast
latte, and I'm having
entitled
coffee
How
now.
Much Has Matt Slept?
Lots of caffeine in my system right now. Oh boy,
Well,
I will power through, guys. Don't worry.
so I guess a
So this
difficulty as
question,
well.
yes.
Do you ever feel like you end up mixing up words from the same family? Like, I know you mix up the accents, but do you
Oh
ever have the
God.
word problem? Because I haven't run into that
Abigail.
very much.
I don't mix up words. I have a weird problem which I never thought I was gonna have, because I always thought it was BS that people like legitimately switch languages mid-sentence. I thought it was a thing like that was fake and people do it for attention. No. When it started happening to me, I would start saying "Jeg har besoin de."
So not even the same family.
No, not the same. Same Indo-European. But why do those four words fit together in my head? That I've gone, I'm just like walking to the fridge. I want to get water. I'm like, yeah, I heard besoin de water. I'm like, to say I need, I say yeah, I have besoin de, like need of. So Norwegian and French, you don't to say I need in Norwegian. You don't even say yeah, I heard. That works in French. I don't know why this happens in my head. Does this happen for you at all? Because I've switched languages. Speaking will be like speaking French, and then I'll accidentally slip into German if I can't say something, or like my brain like dies a bit. You know what I mean? But does
Yeah,
that happen
Matt
to
and I
you?
have actually started this thing recently where we just speak to each other. Like, previously we'd
I
speak
apologize
English
for my
to each
dog
other all the
barking.
time and
Yeah.
occasionally practice a language together, but in the
Now
past
we're
few
trying
weeks
to
we've
not do
started
that.
this thing where just whenever we think of another word, we just say it, and the other one can usually understand because most of our languages either overlap or like I
Are
can
close
understand
enough.
enough of Norwegian that I'm like, okay. So we just speak in this strange
The
code
strange
switching
Creole
now,
pigeon, yeah.
where it's like six languages strung together in a sentence, and everyone around us is like, as
Yeah.
we're like, oh, okay, and then like
Yeah.
say something back in the same weird language. Or like the other night, we were speaking in English, and then Matt
Oh
said
my God,
something
I
or
remember
something,
this. And I thought it was you that said it in the other language
and
first.
we just switched into German and then continued the conversation out entirely in German. And
And
then,
then when
like, at
we
the
finished
end,
the
we're like,
conversation, we were like, "Who started speaking in German?" And you were like, "No, you did." And I'm like, "I don't remember that. You said something in German, so I started speaking in German." And we were like, "What?"
Yeah, so that's a thing that's started to happen. So I'd say that I
It's
do
fun though.
think like that, but I think when I'm trying to practice a language, it doesn't necessarily happen as much because I'm usually thinking.
You're focused on staying in that one language.
Because it also doesn't happen to me when I'm in like class and speaking English. I don't switch into any other language. It's just when I'm like walking around thinking in my head, usually there's like a weird code switching jumble
It's
of
so weird.
languages that
I feel like
happens.
it's messing up my English though. And you can attest to this because I have not been able to speak recently.
It has been a bit of a mess.
Oh
Get
boy.
Matt sleep, 2K17.
I get plenty of sleep though. I feel like I function better with less sleep, honestly. Maybe it's just because my eyes are kind of, they look semi-closed most of the time. People think, like, I've got these, like, kind of natural bags. I don't know. Maybe I need makeup. Hide my
All
flaws.
right, so the next thing we wanted to talk about, just to push this back in the right direction, because this is, we were going to talk about difficult families and easy families.
If such a thing exists.
Yes, and I think definitely we need to clarify that this is much like the discussion of what's an easy language to learn for me. It definitely depends on your native language and
It depends
the
on how
other
you learn
languages you
things.
speak, but I think really in this case, if we're just going to talk about families, it really mainly depends on your native language, which families are going to be crazy hard or crazy easy. So what do you feel is the hardest language family?
I just want to point out something before I answer this question.
Yes.
You mentioned to me recently that you feel like a lot of the podcast is you like interviewing me.
It is.
Because you posed the question. So, would you like to answer this question first? Because I don't want to be interviewed here. This is a conversation.
Okay, I'm very confused. My mom just texted me, just got home, and I don't know why.
Oh,
I'm
gosh.
very happy for her, but no, so difficult families, of the ones that I've studied, I'd
Or
say,
just
so
like
obviously
this can
it's
even bleed over into prejudices. Like, what do you think is the most difficult family? Or from the ones that you've
I mean,
studied?
I think my prejudices are based off of what I've studied so
Okay,
far, at
yeah.
least. Because currently, I'd without a doubt say that the hardest one is the Slavic family. And yeah, I mean, because also, I think it's always, I think an interesting prejudice is that a lot of people think that, like, Asian languages, which aren't necessarily a family, like, they're each kind of in their own
Yeah,
realm,
it's
but,
a
like,
region and they have
Asian
similar
languages
features
in
due to region.
general, people tend to think of as being very difficult. Obviously, I don't have a ton of experience with Japanese so far, but I found that it is wildly easy compared to Bulgarian. And also, just like I started and I was like, okay, it's not super easy, but like
It's logical.
it's
There's a
nowhere
logic
near
there.
as hard as people kind of made it out to be. Like I've been very shocked with my Japanese study and how much easier I'm finding it than I was expecting.
Yeah, I was thinking that until I got on, until I got into like the Mango course, and this is like my Japanese study has like it's been pushed down on my list because I've got like Hungarian and Norwegian stuff happening right now, sadly, because I was really enjoying Japanese. But when I was on the Mango course and I was getting into like where is this on the map, and I was getting into things like that, it started to be like, oh, you're kind of losing me. This is getting difficult.
Yeah, it is very basic. I found so far that the grammar I have encountered, and I'm still being tripped up a little bit by having it not be SVO because
Yeah,
everything I've
it's
studied,
very
even if
different.
it's had weird grammar, has been SVO at least. So like having it not be like that, I'm still a little bit like, ooh, this is not what I was expecting. But
Yeah.
I mean, I was expecting it. I knew that Japanese was different, but like still, it's like not how my brain thinks yet. But I do think that it's been easier to catch on to that and be working with it than I was expecting.
All
So
right.
yeah, I'd say that most difficult is the Slavic, and I know that there are differences with the Bulgarian and the other ones. For example, Bulgarian has less cases than the other Slavics, but
Which is
I've
crazy. I
heard
never would
so
have
many
thought that.
people say that what Bulgarian lacks in cases, it makes up for in like just the crazy
The
verb system
verbs.
that it has.
Yeah.
So I think that's been hard. And
Yeah.
I'd assume just based on what people have said about the Slavic case system for the other Slavic languages, that I'd say Slavic is most difficult. Also, memorizing vocab. I've had so much more trouble memorizing Bulgarian vocab than I have any other language. It's just very different from, I think, my native vocab, so it's not something I can connect and be like, this sounds like this, because nothing is like a cognate, basically.
Gotcha. I
And
wanted
then, I
to.
don't know, even Japanese is different, but somehow I can memorize it easier than I did with
Yeah.
Bulgarian.
I wanted to ask you, does your experience with Hebrew and a little bit with Syrian Arabic,
Oh, yeah.
what family
TBT to Hebrew.
is that? That's not Sinetic, that's like
Hebrew Semitic.
Semitic, that's it. The Sinetic is like Chinese, isn't it?
I don't think I've ever heard that term,
I
but
forget the word, I'm saying the wrong thing, but
I
Semitic.
feel like I don't spend as much time reading about that kind of thing.
I'm a linguist nerd, but I'm not good at linguistics. I just enjoy it a lot.
I also enjoy linguistics. I don't think I spend as much time on it as you do, probably.
Because I'm a dork.
So, yeah, I'm just more into like I want to learn a language.
Yeah, I love the science behind it. But yeah, do you
With
have
the
any thoughts about
Semitics.
that family? You've had limited time with it and a kind of negative experience with one of those languages, which may have
Yeah.
scarred you, but it's okay. Let's try to
No,
be
someone actually
positive.
asked me the question the other day if I'd ever learn Hebrew again,
I saw that.
and
What was your answer?
I responded that I had never really had the motivation to start, other than the fact that I wanted a language class in my schedule and Hebrew fit. And so, But my negative experience wasn't with the language, it was with my professor and
Yeah,
the
your professor.
textbook. So I never had a reason to learn Hebrew, and that's why I'm not continuing with it. But if I ever have an inspiration to learn the language, the class isn't going to stop me from going back to it.
That's good.
So basically, that's why I'm not studying it. It's not because of the class. It's just because I never really had much of an interest in that specific language to begin with. But I do think it's a beautiful language. It's just not something that's really like pulled me in its direction yet. And so, if at some point I do start to feel like I really want to learn it, I will pick it up. So
Nice.
that's kind of where I stand with that. But from past experience with that, I guess I'd still say that the Slavics are most
Really?
difficult.
Okay. That's interesting. I think for me, the easiest family that I've encountered is the Germanic family. But, and I want to rephrase this because the Germanic family has different things going on within it. Because you have English, which I feel like is nothing like, even though there's so much vocab.
I think that English could be debated whether it's in the Germanic family or not. Like, I feel like I
Yeah.
always grew up hearing English as Germanic, but
And because
English shares a
learning
lot of
German,
words
I'm
with
like,
French
I
and with
totally
the
agree.
Romances,
I
and
think it's
so.
some weird gray area between there.
Yeah, and we've just adopted so many words from other places, and we don't really have the case system that Germanics have. We're kind of this weird other thing, and I don't want to say that we're in isolate because we're definitely not. We've
No.
definitely
Yeah,
grown from
I was
places,
having this
but
conversation with a friend yesterday, and I think it was yesterday, and he was saying, I used to think I hated English because it's just kind of a mess. But then I realized it's kind of beautiful because if you want to pronounce a word right, you need to know where it came from and what language it came from. And he's like, it's kind of a nice linguistic hodgepodge of just these other languages, and it shows kind of a history with every word.
I think actually English, what I'd say it is, because if you look at Old English,
It
we
looks more
definitely did
Germanic.
come from the Germanics.
Yeah,
I
I
think
totally
we're
agree.
a Germanic with a lot of Romance influence.
I definitely said,
So,
and then you got influence from a whole bunch of other places.
yeah, but definitely a lot of Romance.
Totally. And no, but yeah, so I would say in level of easiness for me, it goes Germanic, just because like Norwegian verbs don't conjugate. There's infinitive and then there's subject form basically, and which I absolutely adore. It's not like ich bin, du bist, ist. It's jeg du han and I'm just like, Norwegian, yes, you're doing it right. even though something I love about German is the verb conjugations, I think it's really cool that Norwegian does it a bit simpler. And I don't know, I want to say Swedish is the same way because they're very mutually intelligible. I just don't know, and so I don't want to say the wrong thing. But I know Icelandic is not like that. Icelandic and Faroese, they don't do that. They have conjugations that are closer to German and actually more complicated. But then when you get to like Romance, I would also say like this is easier than I perceive the Slavic languages to be. But again, because I'm very interested in grammar, the Slavic languages intrigue me because they are something that they have a bit
Well,
more cases that I
I
wish
think
German
I'm
had.
intrigued by difficult languages as well, but I don't think that changes their difficulty level.
Yeah. And like
So.
for right now, I like, oh yeah, you're right. That's a good point. I'm into Hungarian grammar. Oh, into Hungarian grammar. And the amount of time I've spent reading up on Hungarian grammar and just how it functions than I've spent actually learning the language is it's a big uneven ratio.
Yeah, see, I think that's where we differ in linguistic things. You're
Yeah.
comfortable just reading about why languages do certain things, and I'm kind of like, I wanna like absorb it
Yeah.
all.
And you know, I prefer that too. I just love, I think it's so interesting. And so like I can't stop
Yeah.
myself from reading up on it basically. I need an
I
intervention.
don't know what the easiest language family, in my opinion, would be. What did you say what you think the most difficult is? Or did you just say the easiest?
I get very intimidated by the Finno-Ugric because I've had the world tell me for years that Finnish and Hungarian are impossible and that Hungarian is the harder of the two, which I don't believe. I think they're both equally difficult, and then there are other languages in the Finno-Ugric family, which are, and Finno-Ugric is not Indo-European, by the way, if you didn't know, it's outside of Indo-European. And so what's really scary to me is there are no cognates with languages I know. There is, to an extent, from cultural diffusion, but other than that, I just gotta get lucky if I recognize something. Other than that, it's totally new. And it's a scary thing going into a family where it's totally new, but I don't think you can make that be a difficulty criterion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'd also agree that Germanic would be easiest.
Think
Which
about
is
the word
interesting because
vile.
I feel like I have more experience with romances, but I
That's
think
really interesting that you say that.
with my limited experience I've had with Germanics, I think, like you said, it's easier to transition to a new language within the Germanics and pick it up really fast. I also know, just based on what I've heard, I mentioned this in other podcasts because I read this and I was like, wow, this speaks to me. But with French being easy when you start out and getting harder
Getting
as you go
harder.
along, and German being
German's the
hard when you
opposite.
start out and getting easier as you go
I
along, because
totally
I used
agree.
to say that German was the hardest thing that I'd studied, and now I feel like it's
It
honestly
gets
below
so
French in
simpler,
terms of
whereas French has gotten
difficulty.
more complicated.
I think just because in the long run, like, I struggled with German for less time than I'm struggling with French in the long run, because the struggle was at first in German, whereas French, it's like, oh, it's just a struggle once you reach
Oh,
a
it's
certain
been
level.
6 years. Now it's getting difficult. Oh, gosh.
So I think overall, and then just what I know about the other Germanics and crossing over to other ones from knowing one.
Like,
Also, just I feel
because
like
Germany
the
and Denmark are so
accent and
close.
things like that are very, are like a bit easier because even if they don't necessarily sound exactly like English, I feel like they're pretty
A lot of
close.
the
Like, if you say
phonology is similar.
and a lot of words in German, like, there is the word in, there's the
Yeah.
word, I don't know, I'm not gonna be able to think of them now, but there
On,
are
which
a lot
sounds
of
like on. A lot
words.
of prepositions sound similar.
Yeah, there are a lot of words that are, like, flat
House.
out still in
Mouse.
English. Yeah, even if they're spelled
Café.
differently. So,
Tee.
and, like, even just,
Wasser.
like, 20 is,
20.
yeah, and it sounds fairly
20.
similar.
20. You can see it, kind of, if you think.
Yeah, so I'd say Germanics are
Same. 10.
easiest in my opinion. I'd
Cool.
yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And now, I guess moving on, do you have any
Prejudices.
prejudices against certain language families?
Against?
Or just not against, I guess that's the wrong word, prejudices that either you have developed or learned from your society that you are not proud of and
I mean, I
cannot
think, like I said,
attest
just
to.
any language in Asia,
You've been
regardless
like, it,
of the language family,
you've
I've
been
been
told
told
it's
is like
difficult.
the hardest TM.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's
Like
just because, like,
Mandarin,
English doesn't
Japanese,
use.
Korean,
Oh my
like.
gosh. Yeah. See, well, and I've been told that too, but I've also been told by native speakers. Like, I have a student who lives in Australia but is from China, so her native language is Mandarin.
Yeah, I've heard that Mandarin is actually very easy grammar-wise.
Exactly. She was like,
But
dude, the
I've been
grammar is the
told my
simplest
whole
thing.
life that Chinese is the hardest thing I could ever study. And
Yeah.
so
Oh my
I
gosh.
feel like that's. I think at this
We're
point I've
being
almost
lied
shed
to.
it completely because I do spend so much time like listening to and reading about people that study languages and things that they've said, and so I think I've been exposed to enough people saying that Mandarin is not the hardest thing that you can
Yeah.
study that I'm like, okay.
Yeah. You gotta break the
So I'd say that's also it, but then I feel like since
stigma.
I've entered the language community, that's where that like hearing
Nothing
that
is
Hungarian is the
impossible.
hardest thing is what I've gotten is I feel like that is a thing that language learners actually like created and perpetuated is
Oh,
like
really?
I
Yeah,
feel like that's
like
where
it's
I
almost like
gained
a
it. I feel like
meme.
I'd never heard that Hungarian is hard until I was around polyglots that are like Hungarian.
Do you know the
Like,
meme I'm talking of where it's like all the cute cats and then it's like you see Hungarian as like Godzilla? Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Like you're definitely right. It is perpetuated by language learners, and I think it's almost it spreads this like false fear. Whereas recently, I think when I started coming to the realization, oh, Hungarian is something I want to learn, I had to kind of convince myself and learn nothing is impossible people speak this, and therefore it is possible. Even though it may be so different, people speak Navajo, people speak Quechua. Like, these crazy things that I could never imagine myself doing, I can do. And, like, this is something that you can apply to anything in life. People do things, therefore you're able to do that.
There's actually a podcast that Ollie Richards did with a guest, but I don't remember the name
Israel.
Of. And hopefully we'll put it in the down bar, but it changed my life, you guys, when I listened to it. It's about how, like, if you just, like, change your mindset and think of ways to go about achieving a goal, you can do it and apply it to language learning and basically anything else.
Yeah, like, this guy doesn't learn languages. He just learns certain skills that he wants to learn.
Yeah, it's really good, and I've definitely, like, incorporated it into my entire life. I feel like that's part of why I started working out as well.
Do you remember what,
I don't remember the name of it, is
the
problem. Do
you remember the number, or, like, where it was around?
No.
Okay. You keep talking while I search for this, I'm sorry.
I guess prejudices, I mean, I have opinions and things that I'll probably...
I feel like his name was
that
John.
That I do and don't want to learn in the long run. Like, I don't think I want to learn another Slavic language other than Polish.
See, man, I want to jump into the Slavics.
And it's not because I now hate the Slavics after studying Bulgarian. It's simply that I don't really have an interest in the others, and after studying Bulgarian, it wasn't like I was like, wow, this is my language family, that I want to learn all of the languages in this family. I love the Slavic family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's just, like, not the family for me, and I just don't have a specific language in there that I have a draw to other than Polish as well, so... Like, I mean, I've got that as, I guess, a prejudice. But also, like, again, if I feel the urge to learn Russian at some point, I will. But, mm-hmm. like, at this point in time, I think Bulgarian and Polish will be the only Slavics that I study.
Nabit?
I have this prejudice, I guess, where I was like, man, I love the Romance family. I want to learn all the Romance languages. But I feel like then every time I, like, consider learning a language, the Romances are never on there. And I guess that's gonna change kind of soon because we're learning Spanish and I'd like to learn Portuguese soon, but I feel like in general I was like, I love French so much, I want to learn all the Romance languages, but then if I think about it, there are so many other languages that I have so much higher priority on than the Romance family.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's, I guess, a good prejudice, that I'm like, I love the Romances, but, like, I don't love them as much as I think I love them. I think is what I can draw from that. And then, yeah, I feel like those are most of the prejudices, that I just think of Asian languages as hard, even though they're not necessarily. I have a weird draw to Romance languages, even though when I really don't. And then I just know personally I probably won't learn another Slavic language.
Okay.
What are your prejudices?
My prejudices... Probably. I have been told, the same as you, that, you know, Asian languages are impossible. Like, how do they speak with those characters? Like, it's like, they don't speak with the characters. It's just how they write it down. Like, just because... Why can't I find this? We're going to have to put it in the down bar, because I cannot
find it. Yeah, we'll find it later.
But what was I going to say? The, I'm just putting you back here. The biggest, I think, prejudice that I've heard are that, to generalize it and make it a bit more linguistic, is that the Afro-Asiatic languages are hard. And again, I think this relates to my realization
thing.
Of... it's only hard based on, like, your schema. You grew up only speaking English. Any language is going to be hard. I grew up only speaking English, I learned a little German, learned a little Esperanto, started some French, did some Norwegian, now things are kind of opening up to me, and I'm, you know, seeing, oh, languages are kind of like a puzzle, you gotta work with it, it's not just gonna open up to you. And so, I mean, I really don't think that this prejudice is with me anymore. I think I do get intimidated, like when I started with Swahili and Xhosa, more so with Xhosa, because you've got those clicks, and... That's a better one, and which, like, how on earth do you make, like, ah, and oh, and a, like, it's just a sound system, and, like, you were saying with phonology and having sounds that don't exist in your native language, like, when we tried to learn Arabic, the ayn was impossible for us.
Yeah.
We maybe got it one in 20 times.
I don't think I ever got it,
I don't think I ever did. I think I was like choking myself.
No, I don't think I even got that. I was just like making weird noises.
I remember one video we watched, the woman was like, you need to like choke yourself. And I was like, okay. But what was I to say? Basically, yeah, languages are not impossible. It's just you need to have patience. And you can do it. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. Don't panic.
I feel like another prejudice, it's not necessarily a prejudice because I don't think I follow it, but just I feel like I was never exposed to knowing about, like, because technically I didn't have any Germanics offered in my school to learn. But I feel like I was never, like, I'd never heard about language families outside
You
of,
don't know that it exists, basically.
Like, the Romance, the Germanic, so basically Indo-European,
how many people
but
hear
even then,
what
like,
Afro-Asiatic is? How many
yeah,
people
that's
know
the thing
a,
is, I, no, but I feel like in general, I never heard about African languages, and
of course, yeah,
like Native American languages. I guess I knew they existed,
no, but
like I feel like I didn't
it's
know
never
there
talked
are
about.
Families within
yeah.
the, like, I forget the name of the like Native American. There's like some name for that like bigger family, but
I
like there's
just
families
read
within
it.
That as well,
yeah,
and then languages within those families, and I feel like I still am very uneducated on those. I would like to learn
like,
something
I
from
live
there
on
at some
Long
point
Island,
as well.
And
But
all I know is, like, oh, a lot of the names of towns around here and rivers are Algonquin. Like, that's what I think.
See,
And I'm
I
like,
think
is it Algonquin? I don't know what language these are. These could
maybe
all be
you
different
have a little
languages.
bit more of that. We had where I used to live was like that as well. But now here, everything is very white.
Yeah.
Like, literally laughing thing about the town names near me, because they're like, you can't get any whiter than the town names near me.
But,
my town specifically, too. Like, if you think about it, can you get any whiter than that?
You cannot. Oh, gosh. But I just want... Oh, yeah?
I feel like I just wasn't educated to those, and I don't think it's a prejudice, because
I don't think
I'm
was,
like...
too. It was just interest drew me towards it.
Yeah, but I find it interesting that, like, those are things that, like, even if I wasn't able to learn a Germanic language in school like you were, I still knew that the Germanic languages existed and that English was a Germanic language, like German, or I think German was probably the only one they ever
yeah
used
you think
as an
Germanic
example,
you think
but...
German, you don't think like, oh, Dutch is, it's got to be something
yeah I
else,
suppose
right?
I think
because
it now, but
you
I
don't
know
think of it.
In school they probably were just like Germanic, like German. That's why it's called Germanic.
I think it's so weird that the Germanic language family in German is Germanisch. It's not like Deutschisch. I'm like, so...
I feel like that makes more sense, though, because I think that they were two... They're not necessarily supposed to be the thing, and I think
no,
it just...
No, I know. It just is so
funny
to me. Kind of
ended up being the same in English.
Yeah. But what I was trying to say before, which I then forgot, was like, when I was going into Swahili for a little bit, and what little I did of Osa... That wrong click, Osa. There we go.
Just Matt problems.
Honestly. What was I going to say? Like, when I'm not speaking to language people, I can do the wrong click and get away with it. But if I do it here, someone's going to call me out on it and say, like, you did not say Osa, right? And I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, I don't know anything other than how to say the name. What else can I say? Ndiakutanda? I don't know if that's Kosa or Swahili. I think it's Kosa, though. Ndiateta isi... No, I don't remember anymore. Ndiateta isi Kosa? I think that's I speak Kosa, but that's a lie. But what I was saying was the verbs and, like, the way language works in this family is phenomenally interesting, because you have to change what the verb is and, like, these infixes that go in the verb. And noun... classes, not noun genders, noun classes. You have like 13. It's not like they're all different genders, because it's legit logically done, where like plants and other things like that are in this one class, and then like nations are in this other class and whatnot, and like you know what I mean. I'm losing all my vocabulary right now, but it is phenomenally interesting, and It's language functions in that family like I've never, like I haven't seen in Indo-European, and so it was so, oh, And so it was so fascinating to me to see it function so differently and see it still work. And that was like when I had like this like mind explosion where I was like, language is like this transcendent thing that humans just do, and it functions no matter what, basically. It's really cool. But you have anything else you want to say about prejudices?
No, I'm just gonna wait for you to pose the next question so that way I'm not interviewing you.
You can interview me if you want. I don't.
Should I ask the next question? We both have
I get. Yeah, we do.
it written
Let's ask it at the same time.
down. All right.
So,
What are your
do you
favorite
have.
families?
What? Oh gosh, that's. I have that on my last bullet. I'm
All right,
sorry.
never mind. Welcome to the podcast, guys. It's a mess.
This is what we're known for. It's fine. I was going to talk about isolates next, because then I thought. Because we don't have much experience with it.
Which one? With isolates
Isolates.
or having a, yeah, we don't.
So I was thinking, like, we could just gloss over that real quick.
Yeah, we can gloss over isolates exist.
Isolates exist, there you go. So language isolates are languages that are isolated within other, not even within other European, within other language families. They are excluded almost, and some people can say why. There's evidence.
Excluded.
Other people are
Indo-Europeans like no Basque, you
no
can't hang out
Basque,
with
no.
us.
We were trying to figure out before, is Esperanto an isolate just due to its nature of being
I feel
created?
like it's the same as English though. I feel like it's
It's
not
not
a
like easy to
specific
pinpoint.
I feel like it doesn't fall in a specific place, but it's also not an isolate. But then like we said, English definitely. Okay, so my thing stopped recording, so don't totally remember what I was talking about,
Sorry
but
about
language
that.
isolates, I guess as a question that I have to pose
Yep.
for you. Well, actually, wait, I think what I was talking about was
What is your
how
question?
English is definitely from a Germanic, but has changed, but Esperanto was created, since it is an artificial language, it was created not part of a thing, so I guess you could consider it an isolate, but then again, since it was created, it does share things with several
It's an
families, so
inspired
it's like a.
isolate.
I'd say it's like a
Yeah.
fake proto a fake Indo-European. I don't know. Esperanto is hard to like place somewhere because it also it's artificial, but it draws from real languages in ways that I know all conlangs
Yeah,
kind of
it's a
draw from
really
real
weird
languages,
case.
but like Esperanto flat out like steals vocab from
Yeah. Yeah,
so.
this steals a lot of roots. I wanted to we were researching isolates a bit before this because we have not had a lot of experience with them, but we wanted to talk about them because it's an interesting bit of language families where it's like you have these that don't really fit in. And we were talking about unclassified ones where they just don't have enough evidence, languages that they don't even know if they existed. But then we discovered basically that there are many languages that were isolates and are now considered part of a smaller language family. And I think it makes a lot of sense because how many languages are unlike another? A lot of languages stem from one another, but then, like, you know, you have the interesting cases of, you know, Basque in Europe, Korean, and then to a lesser extent, Japanese, which has been reclassified in like the Japonic
But I think
family.
still there's only maybe one other language in with Japanese. It's like Japanese and one other language or something.
I think it's Ryukyu and Ainu. No, Ainu is the isolate,
I
isn't
don't
it?
know. I think when I saw it,
Ainu,
the Japonic
Ainu.
is still like two languages counting Japanese. So it's like not.
Okay.
It's been regrouped,
Gotcha.
but it's like still basically on its own. But so the question I wanted to pose is. We've both said that we kind of want to have a diverse amount of language families that we've studied. Where do you stand on isolates? Do you feel like you need to then have those in with your language families as well? Do you see yourself learning an isolate? Like.
That's a really interesting question. I talked about this a bit in our last podcast where I was like, minority languages and languages that are endangered, I feel a bit intimidated by the communities that they belong to. I don't want to infringe on their like comfort almost of the of their it's their language. They kind of feel a right to it. And I was talking about how this was a thing with Basque in the past, and I don't know if it's still a thing. where they were very protective of their languages, from my understanding. And this is like my fear kind of with Xhosa. And when I was learning it, that was a really bad click, I'm sorry. It's just a fear I have of learning somebody's language and then being rejected from the community almost. And so I think, I don't know if I'm more likely to learn an Icelet than I am to learn an ancient language.
Oh, that's
language.
A good question.
I have such a big interest in Old Norse. Yeah. But, like, I could see myself, if I want to add a new region to my linguistic portfolio, and there are only Icelets spoken there, like, South America is riddled with Icelets, I could see myself doing, like, Quechua, or Nahuatl, and I don't know what respective families those belong to. But I could see myself doing one of those just to add another like area to
that's
my
interesting
repertoire.
Yeah, I feel like I basically am more drawn to like I sort of know which languages I want to study in the future, and obviously that's ever changing, but just at least currently I don't have any isolates on there, and I feel like it's not as necessary for me in my diversity. Like, I'm fine sticking with families, and then if there's some isolates that are technically like their own family, like, it's fine if I don't get to those. I guess that's where I stand on that.
Cool. And then do you have any favorite families?
I mentioned this in the last podcast again. I feel like this was very related to last podcast's podcast.
Yeah, it's kind of like an extension to the conversation. So, I like it though. It was good. Oh, we didn't talk about our language update.
We'll do that at the end. So favorite families, I don't think I have one yet. I think, like I said, I always feel like I'm like, I love those romance languages. But then I do like the romance languages, but I don't think I like them as much as I think I do. I think French is kind of always going to be the one romance language that I really feel connected to. And while I'm enjoying learning Spanish and I have a very strong desire to learn Portuguese at some point, I don't feel like I necessarily have the same interest and connection in those that I do to romance. And then, like I said, Slavic, I enjoyed my time with Bulgarian, but it didn't make me feel like, yep, this is the family for me. Germanic, I feel like of the, like, I guess the ones that I've studied, I guess Germanic is the one that could possibly end up being my favorite family, just in the sense that I have learned German, and now I still have this really big drive to learn either Swedish, Danish, or Norwegian, and then also Icelandic. So that's like a much bigger range within that family that I'd like to study, as opposed to within the Romance family, I suppose. I'm sure the Romance family, I guess, has kind of less languages in a sense than the Germanics do, but I feel like they do.
Really? You think that?
I mean, they're smaller languages, I feel.
I feel like Germanic is very,
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Here's what I think. I think Romance has more, but the Germanics are closer
together. I feel like the Germanic
has
more big, well-known languages as well. Like, I feel like, because the big, well-known ones for Romance are Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, French, Romanian, and then you've got, like, smaller languages. But then, yeah, you've got like smaller ones, but then if you're gonna go Germanic, the big ones, German, Dutch, Danish, Norwegian, Swedish, Icelandic, like, I feel like the list is a bit longer of like big ones.
Really? Yeah.
So I mean, it could just be that is that there's I've been more exposed to Germanic, because also I don't know, I'm not sure if that's the one for me yet either. So currently I feel like I'm kind of wandering. I do definitely at some point want to, as well as diversifying, maybe figure out which language family is like my language family, and which one I'd like to continue studies within and do more languages and compare them and things. And I mean, that's not going to stop me from doing it in other families, obviously, since I'm doing it with Germanic and then with Romance, even if I don't necessarily feel that's what it is. But I think currently I'm, like, the vagabond. I don't have a language family yet. So I'd say currently I don't have a favorite, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I think my answer is the same as earlier, where I was like, I think anything Germanic is, honestly, it has my heart. And this is only just because I think when I started learning Norwegian, I got such like a homey feel from the language. It just felt so comfortable to me. And the sound was just so relaxing. And I watched a lot of comedy in it, and just the songs were so, it really signified like a good time in my life. And honestly, it just only brings back like
I
good
think there's also
feelings,
definitely
Norwegian,
something to be
and just
said, the ties you have with the first language you learn, other than your native one.
Oh,
Like,
totally. I was thinking that when
and
you were
I
talking
think
about
this has been
French.
brought up in the past, not necessarily in this context, but I think you definitely lean more towards German and I lean more towards French, and it's because that's what we've known.
Oh, totally. It's
And
because those are the first that we
so it's
learned.
almost like a native language, but because we learned it second, it's like we like it more than our native language
Our
almost.
default, it's our go-to. Honestly, yeah.
Even though I like the other romance languages, I don't have as much of a connection to them, and I feel like maybe I wouldn't be as interested in the romance family if it weren't for the fact that I learned French first, and so I feel like I have this connection with the romance family. And then I think you have this very strong interest in the Germanics because you learned German first and because all of its
Yeah,
ties.
it's like German opened me up to this big world of Scandinavia, and then I've crossed, the North Sea over to like Iceland and Norway, and now I'm interested in the Faroe Islands, and just I'm getting exposure to all of these languages with ties to Old Norse, and I'm big into Norse mythology, and so, like, I literally just ordered the Prose and the Poetic Edda on Amazon. And while I wish I ordered them with their Old Norse original written words, that would have been like huge and gigantic. So right now I have them in English, and then hopefully I'll at one day look at them in Old Norse and have some fun with that. But yeah, I think I'm so big into Germanic because it just opens me up to this whole world and this whole culture that is so ancient and has so much in it for me to discover. So like it's really interesting in that sense. Yeah.
I
All right. Anything
guess it's time
you
to
want to
just catch
add? I
them
feel
up
like.
on what we've been doing, 'cause we missed our
Yeah,
language
well, for me,
updates,
it's not
so
very
it's time to
exciting.
update you on our language things, which is probably gonna not be a thing for a podcast for a little while since we're pre-filming, so it would be the same exact information.
Yeah. We have to pre-film a bunch of podcasts because we're gonna be in Europe and Abigail has
Yeah, my
vacation she's going
family
on,
like
so
sandwiched the
we're
Europe trip
pre-filming
between
a
other
lot.
vacations, so I'm like, okay.
Best of luck. Oh,
So
goodness.
yeah, so language updates. I've been doing lots of German. Haven't been doing lots of Japanese. Haven't been doing much Japanese, if
We have been prioritizing
Yeah,
German and
that's the
French,
thing
though,
is I'd
because we
love
are
to be
going
learning
there.
Japanese right now, but I knew going into this summer that it was not a priority, and so the reason I was learning Japanese was to have a fun language that was not did not have any kind of like I need to get to this level. Like certainly German I can end it, but like I want to get as comfortable with the language as I can and know as much as I can before we go on the trip. But Japanese, I'm like, this is just gonna be my time to relax when I want to learn a language that's not German. This is what I can do. And so I haven't really been doing that or refreshing my Bulgarian, and I really, 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 really want to get back to that. And then Spanish, we took a break
I
from,
know.
but
We're
yeah, getting it
kicking it
back up
back
today.
up
Matt and I
today,
actually
right?
made a
That's starting
language
again.
plan. That's a good thing to update them on.
Yeah, we have a cool system. We're doing like a day
Yeah, we
one,
made
day
like
two,
a
day three
3-day
system where day
rotation.
one is German and French. Day two is German and Spanish, and then day three
French and
is
Spanish, yeah.
French and Spanish. Yes. And so that way we can skip a day and then just go right to the next one if that needs to happen. But it's really cool, and I'm really excited for it. It worked really well yesterday. We did what was it, a French conversation followed
Something
by
like that. We
German?
kind of
Or
jumped
we
around,
kind of
yeah.
did
No,
German,
it was
French,
like,
German, I
I
think.
think it was the other way. I don't know. We sort of jumped around a bit, but we've been trying to practice speaking just in general with each other more. So I can work on my German and Matt can work on his French, and then also there's been a few times where Matt's like full on tutored me in German, has helped me learn something new, and I would like to do that again too. We've just kind of had strange schedules recently, so it's been a little hard.
Yeah, plus I'm just starting summer now. And as far as my personal language learning, I've really just been focusing on French, and I'm kind of ashamed because I keep putting Norwegian in my bullet journal
I
and then
don't
I
think you
don't
should
get to
totally
it.
feel ashamed about it though, because it's the same thing happened to me with Japanese for a little while, and then now it's gotten to the point where I don't even put it in my journal because I just kind of have been doing
Yeah,
German.
I guess I need to accept like it
Yeah, I
might
mean,
just not
because the
happen
thing
right
is
now.
I'll definitely, after we get back from France and Germany, we only have like a month left till we go back to school. But the thing is in that month, I'm definitely going to be doing Japanese and just kind of more passion language projects. And that's not to say that I don't like French and German, obviously, but currently I'm learning them with
No,
the
of
go
course, but
like,
like.
I have to keep myself on track and get myself ready for the trip. So after the trip, I'm certainly just going to be like doing things that I enjoy and not really having any pressure with them unless I decide, like, hey, I want to see how much I can learn in this time and that kind of deal. So I think that's kind of where we're at. We're both definitely prioritizing the trip because it's now less than a month away.
Oh my goodness.
I am very
Well,
happy though, because I started like
wow.
intensively studying German every day, like as soon as I got home from school about a month ago. So I've definitely come very far in the last month, and I hope to go that far again in this month leading up to Germany, and I should be okay.
I think you're gonna see. You should do a diary like
I
really soon, so
actually,
then you can do
it's
one like
actually
either in Germany
scheduled
or
in
after
my
Germany.
pre-filming notebook
Is
that
it
I've
really?
started. I have like a Polyglot Progress notebook at this point to write down video ideas and things, and I made myself like, I
So do I, but
listed out
my
all of the
microphone
videos
is
that I
on
need to
top of it right
pre-film
now.
because it's like, there's probably about 10 to 15
A
videos that I have to
lot.
make within the next week or two, which is great. So.
Yeah, we should talk about that. I could maybe
So
take some of those.
basically, I'm actually gonna do a diary right before we leave for Germany and then a diary after we come back as well.
Nice. We could do even a conversation if you wanted,
Because
like
I
right
also
before
just
we
haven't made
go,
a
and
German
then.
diary in a while. Someone commented the other day and was like, "Are you still keeping up with your German?" Because I think the last one I made was like March of last year. Honestly, I think the one after my poetry competition, I think, was the last German diary I made. Yeah, I
Oh my
think it
gosh, has
has,
it
so
been that
I
long?
very much so need to make a
Dang.
German diary.
I think you're gonna be surprised because even though a lot of time has gone by and you were like on hiatus for a bit, you're gonna see like,
I
whoa,
think
my
what
German's so
happened
much better than it
is
was. Because
it was
that's what
one of those
happened.
weird flip-flops where I took the whole school year off of learning German, essentially. So like there was like 9 months where I
Oh,
didn't learn
did it
German, but then
help?
I came back and intensively studied again, so I kind of made up for it as though I'd studied for like small amounts of time for the past like year. I just like went hard. No, but I think it did help. I think I've mentioned it
That's so
before,
cool.
and like I do like to take a break after a project and then return, and I think taking breaks from languages for me at least helps me
Helps you remember.
like just kind of get my drive to study intensively back. And I think I do
I see
definitely
that.
need to time it better with, because usually I try and get through a resource and it puts me at the right level to be able to take a break, but that didn't happen with Bulgarian because I just ended after ad one and I forgot all of my Bulgarian. So I definitely think you need to get to the B range before you take a break. That's what I've learned,
Yeah,
is
that's a good
don't
place to
study to
be.
like A1, A2 and then be like, time to take a break from this language, because you'll come back and have to relearn everything. So
Yeah, I was like maybe semi A2 when I took a break from Norwegian, and then when I came back to it, I was like, oh, I gotta read through this book again and get back to
yeah, I
where I was because I
genuinely
don't
have to
remember
redo
this at
everything in
all.
Bulgarian at this point. I thought I'd remember at least something. I remember about like 5 words, so. And it makes me so sad, but
It did like come back quickly though. I know. The eternal struggle. All right,
yeah.
well, I guess that's all for today. Those are our thoughts on language families, and of course, we probably have more thoughts, and we'll probably talk about this again at some point. But yeah, thank you very much to Lucia or Lucia or Lucia on Twitter for submitting this question or this topic. We are very appreciative, and if you guys have any more that you would like us to talk about, please do submit them in the comments or on Twitter. And then if you want to help us keep the podcast sounding so wonderful and maybe even improve quality of other videos at some point, you can visit our Patreon down below and help us out a little bit. So that link's there if you're
Yep.
interested. And yeah, I guess that's it. Anything else you want to
No,
say before we
nothing
go?
other than if you do have ideas, definitely send them to us. Just because since we're recording so much now, anything that people ask us w over the next like month to talk about, we won't be able to do for until another like 2 or 3 months. So just if there's something you're interested in hearing about, let us know now is just the one thing.
Yeah, basically.
So that's about it. 'Cause we'd love to definitely get to
All
talk about
right.
things that you're interested in hearing about. So
Oh, totally. Yeah. Okay. So thank you guys for watching, and remember
Practice
that
makes
practice
progress.
makes
That one's a little bit
progress.
easier than the Polyglot
That was
Progress
close.
podcast, at least.
Yeah, it
All
goes a bit
right.
better. All right, thank
Bye.
you guys. Bye.